When I was running for council, that was one thing I found. I think we all noticed that. Oh, he's different. That gave me some power as well, because I then realized what I was doing was worth it. You know, it was really, really tough. It was really hard.
Yes.
But then there were so many people wholeheartedly kind of accepted, welcomed, and then even appreciated what I was doing.
You're listening to Who Is My Neighbour, a podcast by You Belong Australia. Each episode, you'll join with Sorgul and Warren to meet some of Australia's newest neighbours. You'll hear their stories, listen to their hopes and dreams, and discover the incredible courage and inspiration they bring to our communities and richly diverse Australian culture. You'll also learn from some more established Aussies too, and the joy they've found living and working alongside our refugee and migrant background neighbours.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Who Is My Neighbour podcast. In today's episode, we'll be talking to Ekraj Adhikari from Nepal.
We hope you enjoyed this interview.
Ekraj, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Would you mind sharing a little bit about your background when you came to Australia?
Okay. From Nepal originally. Came to Australia, Toowoomba. Toowoomba is my first place in Australia. It was 13 years ago, 2008, July, cold month of July. It was one of the coldest times. I've been here 13 years.
13 years. Dare say so much have changed since then, right?
A lot, when we first came here, we could hardly see, especially from Nepal. You know, like, we were like only 10 or 15 of us. Now at least 2,500, more than 2,000, you say. But 2,500,
Tell us a little bit about your experience when you first arrived in Australia and then in Toowoomba. How did it all feel like as a person in a Western country? How was it all for you and your family?
First of all, it was colder than I thought. You know, when we think about Australia, we think of big buildings and busy city, you know, lots of cars, traffic, and then especially the beaches, sunshine. When we come to Toowoomba, and also, you know, full on middle of the winter, July month, it was really, really hard. We were not prepared for that. Plus, there were not many people from the community or same culture, same background. So we found it a bit hard, a bit complicated.
And isolated as well. A little bit?
It was definitely. It was really, really hard. The incident could be we used to walk for hours from uni to city, from city to uni, you know, like, didn't know where to catch the bus, or, you know, didn't have enough money to pay for taxis, of course, and finding job was hard because of different barriers, language, and stuff like that. So, it was difficult, but at the same time, we felt this place has something, you know, like, people were nicer from the very beginning and they were helpful, trying to help. We just had to learn how to seek help and where to seek help. So that was the first experience, I think.
Seeking help.
How to how to find right help right now.
So that obviously was the way you and your family overcome the difficulties and the challenges that you faced in this new country. But to my understanding, many people find it difficult to ask for help. In many cultures, like mine, we're not used to ask for help when we need. And in Australia, it's so normal to ask for help. How was it for you?
It's sometimes you have to have a little bit of knowledge about the place where you're going as well. It's not just like someone will come and ask, like, oh, do you need help with something? It's not going to be like that. It's something you need to find out before you come here. In our case, we were sort of 50-50. We were not thinking that way, of course. You know, we go to the advanced developed country, everything will be done for us, or everything will be Apple, you know, like, everything will be easy sort of thing. Of course, that is, that was not the reality when we come here. But in short, I would like to say, cold month, cold time in the evening, me and my wife, we were walking through these streets from Kmart to USQ.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were talking about this, you know, like, how lovely would that be if there was a house there where we could go. And then there were people, lovely people, who invites us, you know, like inside, and then offers of coffee or something, you know, nice, warm environment. And we used to walk past that street. We used to think about this. After a couple of months, or a couple of weeks, I think not month, we realized in the same street, we had a family from Nepal.
Oh, wow.
They were living here for a long time. We didn't even know. Yeah. Same street. It was coincident.
Yeah.
It's on the way to USQ from Kmart.
Yeah.
In that small street there, these people, they were looking out for people from their community as well. You know, they knew lots of students came this year, but they didn't know where to find them or, you know, like what condition they are in.
Yeah.
So sort of thing like that. Yeah. You know, like we need to do some research as well where to seek help. And Toowoomba nowadays is broader. It's getting better, especially for people from other cultures. There are lots of services there trying to help each other and help the newcomers as well.
So Ikrit, you were saying before there's 2,500 Nepalese.
More than 2,000.
Tell us about the Nepalese community in Toowoomba.
Nepalese community in Toowoomba is one of the brightest Nepalese community in Australia, well off.
Yeah.
Most of them are well settled.
Yeah.
So everywhere in Australia, in Nepalese community, you ask about Toowoomba and they look at us really nicely, highly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most of them are graduated from uni and good profession, good jobs.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone, like almost everyone, came from the same background, you know, went through all the hardship, did all hard works and things. But it's really, really good. And I have to say this, Nepalese community in Toowoomba is the most popular Nepalese community in Australia.
Is it also because they support each other, having been through the same experience and
No, Nepalese community, no matter how big it is, it's like a big family.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we celebrate every festivals together. You know, like nowadays, because of the massive growth, rapid growth, it may not be possible for every single festivals, but major festivals is still celebrated together, and everyone sort of knows everyone each other. So it's well connected.
And I know also that you and many others in the Nepalese community have been very active in helping people from other cultural backgrounds as well.
Yeah, that is also the best thing about Nepalese community in Toowoomba.
Yeah.
Most of the community members, many community members are eager to connect with other communities.
Yeah.
You know, get outside the community as well. We have one particular culture or community. From that, we try to connect with other communities as well. So get out of the community, make your link connections, and then do something good here.
Yeah, this is what I like about Toowoomba. It's like we have small communities from each country, and you see this interaction and help from a community to another one, trying to learn from each other's experience in settling and supporting each other. That's right. Wonderful.
That's
about Toowoomba.
Amazing. Now, the diversity is not just between the communities, within the community as well.
Sure.
They are so, like, within 2,500 people, among that number, community members, we have at least 25-30 different languages.
Wow.
Yeah. And all these languages, like, I have friends, they speak different languages. They come from same country, not only same country, also same area, but they speak different language, and we have another culture there, another language there. So the difference between one another within the community sometimes is less than the other communities.
I hear what you're saying.
So
how do you go about connecting with people from other communities? What's your strategy?
I think mainly the openness.
Okay.
Yeah, learning from each other.
Yeah.
And with Nepalese community especially, I think it's in every community now, whoever comes to Australia, we tend to learn quicker and we are accepting the culture here. That makes us powerful.
Okay.
You know, trying to learn from others or trying to appreciate other cultures as, you know, like every cultures around you as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So that way you kind of accept it quickly as well.
Is this also related to the diversity within the Nepalese community itself?
Exactly.
You speak sometimes different languages, so you already have this idea of being diverse.
So
you're open to other cultures and communities as well.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Because we have, the religion-wise, we don't have much diversity there. Majority of the Nepalese people are from Hindu background.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, because Buddha was born there in Nepal,
mm-hmm.
Every Hindus also, you know, like they also have Buddha as their god. So Buddhism and Hinduism go side by side.
Okay.
And the other magic example in Nepal is there is no difference between Hinduism and Muslim.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this must be a very, very unique country where Muslim and Hindu don't fight.
Okay.
Wow.
There's no rivalry, no nothing.
Yeah.
And we were like, Nepal was the only Hindu kingdom not long ago, now it's republic, only Hindu kingdom right in front of the palace was mosque.
Wow. Yeah.
So Muslim mosque was the first spiritual or religious place
mm-hmm.
in front of only Hindu king in the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's magic, and it's been like that all the time.
Yeah.
So there's no hard feeling or no sad feeling between the religions.
Yeah.
And culture wise, we have, say, it's only a small country, like size of Tasmania, slightly bigger than mm-hmm. Tasmania, but same population as in all Australia.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. But the land, if it was flat, it would be as big as Canada.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So all these big mountains and valleys and everything.
Yes.
So you got one big mountain there and then a valley. From this valley would be like a couple of days or hours or something.
Yeah.
Then they're totally different culture, different country.
Yeah,
you know, they got connection there, but also varieties there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we used to with this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about connection, you ran for the local government a few years ago.
Did I?
You did indeed.
So what was the motivation for you to run for the local government? Was there something that you wanted to do, or was it a representation of the Nepalese community, or what would you want to tell us about it?
It's very long story,
mm-hmm.
And also it has so much to do with different things. Obviously, motivation comes from one point.
Yeah.
But if I give you the background, and you'll have to remind me to go to the motivational point. Background would be my life.
Mm.
I think how we say life starts in 40s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That something somehow goes well with me. You know, like up until 40, from 20, I was kind of struggling with different things, doing this and that. You know, I had really good career before I come to Australia, or even before that, I spent a few years in London and I finished university and everything in Nepal, and then I was doing my own business, everything, which was good. But then when I went overseas, everything kind of, not lost, but I was a little bit late to find my track.
Mm.
40, because that's when my girls started growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started talking and everything. And also I started involved in the community. So it took me 10 years to become the leader of the community, you know, sort of thing. So that tells some story as well. And when I was the leader of the community, we were mainly in the communities, our cultural communities, we kind of occupy ourselves within the community, celebrate our own festivals, you know, within, like, just among the community members, and done, you know, a little bit of hesitation there to connect with other communities and everything. But then we had opportunity to celebrate Nepalese language, the Nepalese cultural theme, language and cultural festival through teams, Giti House and everyone.
Yeah.
When we did that, I looked at the community enthusiasm and everything. I thought, you know, that was really, really good opportunity.
It's
but also we had opportunity to step up or step outside the community as a whole community, not just myself. Then soon after that, we decided to do the parade, flower festival.
Yes.
First Nepalese parade was, 70th, the Flower Festival was the first Nepalese parade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that boosted our energy again.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated with all the enthusiasm, all the feedbacks and everything. So I thought, okay, let's take the community to the next level.
Mm.
And then I took that opportunity. It was a big decision.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously my wife was always there, you know, like, oh, you have to do this, you know, like we can take this to the thing. But within the family and also with my work, that is where the motivation come, was my girls, they started going to school and everything, and they kept on asking me, Dad, why do we have this hard surname?
Yeah.
You know, nobody could pronounce their name at school. I was experiencing that as well, and for so long at work, I used to be called Eric.
Really?
Yeah, because Ekraz was like out of, you know, something, you know, really hard for everyone.
Yeah.
My name is Ekraz, and it would take me minutes, you know, like several
and how
minutes.
How you pronounce it, how you spell it.
And that's right. Yes. And then I was talking to one of my friend one day, because he had three or four, I think that he had three kids then, Nepalese community member. And he got all his kids with Sanskrit name. Sanskrit is one of the oldest languages in the world.
Yes.
And Nepalese, Hindi, Urdu, all different, Bangladeshi, all these languages come from Sanskrit, originated from Sanskrit.
Mm.
It's really, really fascinating, really typical language, to be honest.
Yeah.
We call it God's language. Also, it's very hard because not many people speak it nowadays. Mm. But his kids all named, you know, like in Sanskrit. And I asked him, why do you have these hard names? You know, like my girls, they got Elisa or Ira, and then people still find them hard. And he goes like, no, it's not that. You know, like, how many of us know how to say our premier's name?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yes.
So it's more you know, like expose or make people used to, when, you know, it will be easier.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I need to, like, you know, like, I changed my name. They can't call my name, but I won't let this happen to my girls. You know, they need to be, you know, like, common. They you know, it should be common. And then that was kind of motivating factor, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big motivating factor. And one day, after running for council, my daughter came to me from his school, and she said, you know, Dad, most of my friends call me Miss Adhikari now.
So they recognized your name.
Yeah, that's right. It's, it's, you know, like about how,
and
nowadays at work or wherever I go, I find it so easy. I just say Ekraz, and people sometimes remember, otherwise, you know, give them.
Yeah. And it's a gradual thing, isn't it? To just the community become familiar with different names from different languages.
That's right. First thing is we have to be confident enough.
Yes.
You know, when I say Ekraz Adhikari, if I'm not confident, it's going to be hard for everyone.
Yes.
So, and that's the diversity.
Yes.
You know, that's
exactly
inclusive society, or whatever we call it. Yeah.
I'm thinking, how important do you think it will be for a person from a different background to be in the local government? I'm sure all of them are doing a great job, but how things would be different, do you think, if we have a person from a different background representing the different cultures and different communities in Toowoomba?
I think that should be somehow compulsory. We need to have a kind of equity. I'm not just talking for myself.
No.
I started this. Maybe in future, someone from your generation can claim this position. Out of 10, one should be from different background, at least one.
Mm.
One from the First Nation or two from the First Nation.
Yeah.
We should have this, you know, like this many girls, this many from the, you know, minorities, like from disabled background or like this. Because when I was running for council, that was one thing I found. I think we all noticed that. Oh, he's different. That gave me some power as well, because I then realized what I was doing was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really, really tough. It was really hard.
Yes.
But then there were so many people wholeheartedly kind of accepted, welcomed, and then even appreciated what I was doing. Since then, I realized, you know, like, I may have different name, different color, or different accent. that doesn't matter. Even I don't try to speak fluent English now, to be honest, because that gave me confidence. Yeah. And yeah, sorry, for local government, I think it should be, there should be a criteria there where we need to have representative from different background.
Yeah, I think having different colors in the government, whether it's local, state or federal, different accents, people from different ground, reflects the diversity
of
the
country. Australian community as a country, which is very important because we need representatives.
That's right.
Yes, and we need someone to start, and I congratulate
and you
took
the lead.
It is very challenging path to take, but I think my hope is that a lot of people from different backgrounds have looked and seen what you've done and what I'm going to follow and try that myself. Good on you.
No, it has advantages and disadvantages. I come from humble background and I would be comfortable there. Of course, life is a bit different now. You've got more challenges ahead, but then it will be much easier for someone else next year or in next election. And someone has to start. Someone has to walk the walk.
Started.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So, I'm proud. And the important thing is, I come from Nepal. I will be always proud of that. Mm. But now for my girls, Toowoomba is home.
Yeah.
So they will have that strong ground to stand, our dad run for council. If somebody asks me, which is common for different, like us, wherever you go, people are going to ask, where are you from? So at least they can say, I'm from Toowoomba.
Absolutely.
And that's something thing we all need to be proud of. We all contribute from different aspects, different angle.
Yeah.
But politics is little bit, there's kind of hesitation there.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be politician to be honest.
Absolutely. I think this is what is wonderful about Australia. You can still be Nepalese and be Australian.
Exactly.
I can be whatever I want and still be Australian.
Yes.
It's about keeping your own identity but being part of the country that you are living in.
Yes.
And that is wonderful. We might not see in many countries around the world.
Yeah.
So
That's right. And also in Nepal that time, I think Toowoomba is more popular than Brisbane or Sydney in Nepal.
Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it?
There's someone from Nepalese community run for council.
It's also about sharing what you're doing here and what the community itself is achieving back in home.
Exactly.
So that really reflects the what you do in Australia, but at the same time it has a connection back home.
Mm.
That is really great. Well, it was a pleasure meeting you and learning about what you did and hearing your story. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you.
Well, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that interview. Sogul, really interesting to talk with Ekraj today.
It is.
What did you find most impactful of that?
I learned a lot about the Nepalese culture a little bit and about the Nepalese community, but a little bit about Nepal as a country. Ekraj told us a little bit about the history as well. But what I found fascinating about the Nepalese community is that how they're all, as Ekraj said, as one family, supporting each other, being there for each other, and also interacting and supporting the other communities as well when they can.
Yes.
And that was very fascinating about this community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think having learned more about the Nepalese community, as you say, and about the differences, how they've all managed to, over a long period of time, live together in harmony, I think there's a lot that we could learn, as we are seeking to build a more harmonious community where we live and in other parts of Australia and around the world as well. I think it's really important for us to hear from people from those sorts of communities how they've done that in the past. And it's encouraging, I think. Sometimes we think, it's just too hard, right? People, different languages, different cultures, different religions. How could they possibly get on? But the Nepalese have been doing it for generations and successfully. So that's a story of hope, I think.
And they're very open to share, which is, I find it very great. Being from my a community in Toowoomba and a very newly established community in Toowoomba, I find it very useful to try and interact, learn from the more established communities, because it doesn't matter where we come from and our own cultural values, we have the same experiences of living in a new country.
Yeah.
So it's really good to try and learn from those established communities.
Yeah.
Learn from what they, the challenges that they have faced
yeah.
when they first arrived here, but also learn from their resilience
yes.
as well.
Yes.
That's very important to me.
Yes.
And having been a leader, Ikraj, in his
yes.
Community,
yeah.
he has also been doing a great job in trying to lead not only his community, but being a very, a great role model for other refugee and migrant communities in Toowoomba.
That's exactly right. It's so good to see the community, the, in this case, the Nepalese community, reaching out to other
yep.
communities. And I'm sure that will be true for very new arrivals as well. As they go through the process of settling themselves, they too will be looking for opportunities to reach out and,
yep.
and help others from their experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Well, we hope you enjoy listening to Ikraj's story, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Who Is My Neighbour? To learn more about the work of You Belong Australia, just head to youbelong.org.au and find out all the ways you can get involved and empower refugees to integrate and thrive. Lastly, would you help support this podcast simply by sharing it with others? You can also write a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or subscribe to us on YouTube. Yes, we are a video podcast as well. Well, thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Who Is My Neighbour?